someone we know very well that we've been friends with for 40 years. And she was a baby when we met this one. And Marjorie changed her diapers in the nursery. And now she's a doctor. But she's went through a couple of major surgeries, and she can't walk right at the moment. And she has a scooter that helps her get around, and I've become a scooter mechanic. So every time the scooter breaks, they call me, and I fix the scooter. But when she came over this week, we talked to her about healing, and she's a regular church. She's been a Christian her whole life. And she said this to me. There's no reason to pray for health because it's either God's will or it's not His will. And all I could, I got my wrench on the scooter when I'm listening to this, and I'm like, do you not know God's will? And the day I believe that is the day I drop this mic on the ground and walk away. You know, I believe that we call out to God and God hears us and He responds to us and that He wants us to call out to Him and that by His stripes we are healed, be it this side of eternity or the other side of the eternity. We don't always know, but I do know this. I've watched hundreds, if not thousands, of people be healed through prayer. And I so believe in it. So there's several people that are on my mind tonight that we're going to pray for before Pastor Donna comes up and gives us the message. And the first one is Pastor Eugene and Pastor Maria. Maria went to Honduras to preach a week or so ago, and she caught COVID on the way back. And so they say not doing very well. And we've come to a place where we think COVID is a cold, and it is, but it's not. It's a cold that can bite you. And so I want to pray for them tonight. I want to pray for Victor, Marisol's father. I can't imagine what he's going through and how he feels and you know, let alone the family, but I can't even imagine dealing with what he has to deal with. And so he needs some grace and mercy. And then the other one that's on my mind tonight is Rick and Barbara Chirac, especially Rick, though. Rick has a ulcer on the bottom of his foot as a diabetic. And so I'll always remember the time God had me stop preaching in the middle of my sermon and made me walk down and pray for a guy with a diabetic ulcer who was scheduled to have an amputation Monday. This was Sunday. And I brought the pastors up, and we prayed for him. And that diabetic ulcer, which the doctors will tell you cannot be reversed, reversed itself. And it healed before our eyes. And he still has his foot today. And so I believe in the power of prayer. So would you just get into some strong belief that the power of prayer is amazing and we don't ever have to doubt it. God will be God, but we have to do what we need to do. So let's pray for these three people. Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we want to put a covering of protection over Pastor Eugene that he doesn't get the COVID that his wife has. And we want to pray, God, that this COVID leaves her body now in the name of Jesus, that the power of God comes down upon her. God, you know how valuable they are to the kingdom of God. God, you know the word that she preaches throughout the world. God, that we need people like that to do what she does. We want her healed. We want her restored. no lasting effects, no side effects, God, just back to complete perfection. We lift up Victor. Lord, give him strength. Give him will. And help him find enjoyment, joy of life, just knowing that he's your child. And Barbara has so many issues that she's dealing with that Rick gets kind of put behind, but God, Rick is imperative for her to take care of her. He has to be at 100%, God. I've watched you heal this before, God. I know it can be done. I'm not even guessing. I have seen it with my own eyes. I have witnesses, God, to the miracle that you performed on that day. Will you do it again? Your word says you'll do it again. Will you do it again? Touch that man right now in the name of Jesus. He's needed badly. He's the caretaker for Barbara, your daughter. Cure him now in the name of Jesus. We rebuke these diseases. We rebuke these sicknesses, God. We call them off of your people and believe, God, that we come to you because you want us to come to you, and you've given us the authority to come to you and the ability to come to you. And we believe, God, that healing is your will. So we ask that you heal him now. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Well, what an introduction that was to give me my mountain. I just love the synchronicity of God. Those words, give me my mountain, are words of Caleb. In the Old Testament, he and Joshua and Moses were a strong team. And as they were going through toward the promised land, there was a mountainous region that God promised Caleb through Moses because Caleb had wholeheartedly followed his God and brought back a good report of the promised land when everybody else except he and Joshua were bad-mouthing it and saying it wasn't any good and they couldn't take the land and that God wasn't keeping it. When everybody else was saying how wrong and unfaithful and untrue God was, Caleb brought back a good report. And because of that, God, through Moses, promised him this mountainous region in the promised land. Now, he was 40 years old when God promised him that. He went on to help all the other Israelites inherit their promised land. And when he was 85 years old, I like him, he's my hero. He went to Joshua and he said, now give me my mountain. The mountain he asked for was full of giants. Give me my mountain and I'm going to go take it. And there are mountains that come to our life. And our attitude has to be that. Give me that mountain, God. I'm going to overcome it. You might remember Pastor Linda saying at the end of, I think it was the last time she preached on a Sunday, she said, whatever God sends my way, I'm going to go through it for the glory of God. Why does she feel that way? because she wants the character of Christ. She's after the character of Christ. It is the character of Christ that gives us the love that impels us to go through every struggle that comes before us, to go through it with an expectation and an attitude of victory, so that we can say with Joshua, and we can say with Pastor Linda, "Give me my mountain, God." Whatever stands in your way, whatever stands in Pastor Linda's way, whatever stands in my way, has to be viewed with the idea that she said that day, whatever comes my way, I'm going to conquer it. I'm going to go through it to give God the glory that's due him. Our motive for going through those things is love. Love for God, love for his people, love for the assignment he's given us. The mountains that we're talking about tonight is Christ-like character. Have you asked God for your mountain? Have you ever said to him, and I'm sure you have, "God, I want to be like you. Oh, Jesus, I just want to be like you. God, make me like you." Well, you were asking for your mountain. And I guarantee you, it's coming. You can be sure of it. You won't have to go looking for them. They'll leap right up in front of you. Yeah, they sure will. Amen. Jesus said these words, Matthew 17, verse 20. I can guarantee this truth. You have a guarantee from God. Say, I have a guarantee. I got a guarantee from God. If your faith is the size of a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, "Move from here to there," and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. Now, Bishop has clearly taught us, he ain't talking about literal mountains, he's talking about obstacles. This verse clearly indicates that Jesus knew there would be situations in our lives that would challenge our faith. Marisol, situations in your life. Donna, Jeannie, Tamara, Brittany, Sandy, all of you. Situations in your life that will challenge your faith. Jesus clearly knew it. He said so. He also is saying, you have a responsibility to conquer them. A responsibility. See it right there? Say to it, "Move. Get out of my way. Be gone." And nothing, nothing, nothing will be impossible for you. Nothing. So the things that we need to conquer on our journey to Christ-like character are these things. And he called them mountains, so we can call them mountains. I'm going to call them mountains. Our journey to Christ-like character will not be the same for any one of us. Mine is not like yours. Yours is not like anyone else's. Our situations and our challenges are all different, but here's the key. They all have the same goal in God. Every single one of them have the same goal in God, and that is to produce in us Christ-like character. So when James says, "Count it all joy, rejoice and be glad," when trials and tribulations come your way, you can, because what it is bringing you is the character of Christ. And you have said, "I want to be like you, Jesus." So he's answering your prayer. Don't forget that. He's answering your prayer. So here's something you may not know about me. I'm sure you don't, because I don't think I've ever shared it here in Florida. Don't you feel sorry for those people who aren't here tonight? You're going to know something about me they don't know. Maybe you don't care. But I think you all love me, and so you know. When I was in my early 20s, I went on a horseback pack trip up into the Rocky Mountains in Canada. It was a 10-day trip. And I can tell you from that experience that climbing a mountain has absolutely no effect on the mountain. It doesn't benefit the mountain. It doesn't hurt the mountain. Oh, you might move a stone here or there, but it has no effect on the mountain. It has great effect on you. When you climb a mountain, I can tell you, you feel stronger than you've ever felt before. You are encouraged. You have greater vision for what you can do in your life. It energizes you. It helps you see what you're capable of. Give me my mountain, God. Give me my spiritual mountain, because whether it's a physical mountain or a spiritual mountain that you're climbing, it strengthens you physically, mentally, spiritually. It helps you see how much you can do in God. He said it right there. Nothing will be impossible for you. If there is anything in my life that helped me see that I could overcome any physical obstacle, it was climbing a mountain, spending 10 days in the mountains. If there's anything that helps you understand how much you can do in God, how much you can overcome, how much the devil can throw at you with no success, it's being determined to climb every mountain. Oh, there's a song like that, isn't there? Oh, well. It's as true of our spiritual obstacles as it is of a mountain. Now, this I want to say, and take it seriously. And I ain't talking to nobody in particular and everybody at once. Every obstacle we face is designed to strengthen us and to encourage us and to prepare us for the next level. But mountain climbers do not continually climb the same mountain year after year after year after year after year after year. And God does not expect to see you climbing the same spiritual mountain over and over and over again for years. He created us and he equipped us to meet the obstacles and overcome them. Every level, you've heard, Pastor Linda says it a lot, new devil, new level, new level, new devil. Yeah, right. Exactly. Because you're prepared for a stronger obstacle. You're prepared for stronger opposition. You're prepared for a steeper face on the mountain. On our trip up the Rockies in Canada, I believe every person on that trip discovered ways in which we were not as prepared as we thought we were. Discovered ways in which we were not as strong as we thought we were. And we all had to adjust. We all had to suck it up, Buttercup. And go on. Because what you knew on that trip, you could not give up. There was nobody taking you back down to base camp unless you were in need of emergency hospitalization. It's that way with what God sets in front of us. He expects us to suck it up. Sorry, I never liked that expression, but tonight I do. He expects us to put on our big girl or our big boy panties, face the obstacle that's in front of us, and overcome it. We have a responsibility to overcome it. Nothing will be impossible for you. Now, here's the good news for you and me and for mountain climbers. Mountain climbers have professional guides. They have people who have traveled that mountain, who know that mountain inch by inch, people who are very, very excellent at helping you succeed in your trip. They make sure that you have the proper equipment for the journey, And they make sure that you are prepared, that your equipment is in good condition, that you will have every chance of doing this successfully and safely. They do equipment checks on each individual before you leave base camp to ensure that you are ready. For our trip up the Rocky Mountains, the guide told us ahead of time what personal items to bring, and when we got there to the base camp, they had all the other equipment, all the supplies, everything that was needed for the trip waiting for us, and they outfitted us individually with what we needed. The tack that they gave me, the equipment that they gave me, was not the same as the equipment they gave someone else. They outfitted us, each one individually. And you have a guide who's so much better than that. Your guide is the Holy Spirit on your spiritual journey. And he supplies you with all the necessary appropriate equipment for every climb that he sets in front of you. For every obstacle, every situation, he supplies what you need. He makes sure, before he sets that one in front of you or allows it to be set in front of you, he makes sure you're ready for that level. You realize that? You can be sure that you're ready for the climb, even if you don't feel like it, because he knows you're ready. And remember what Bishop teaches us. The highest truth is what God knows. So you may not feel you're ready for the obstacle. You may not feel you're ready for the challenge or the circumstance, but God knows you are. And he knows how much it's going to benefit you when you fulfill your responsibility of walking through it successfully. The Holy Spirit knows the way. I remember a dream I had one time where he took me to a football stadium and locked me in, and on the great big, whatever that is, Teletron, whatever it was, God the Father was on that Teletron, and I was standing there watching him. And he was telling me, showing me, you're going to go through that woods over there. You're going to climb that mountain. You're going to go over there. And you're going to do it now. I couldn't get out of the stadium. I couldn't turn around. I couldn't go back. And I was scared. I was like, oh my gosh, how am I going to do that? It's dark and I don't know. And when all that was coming to me, Jesus stood right beside me. And he said, there's no reason to fear. I'm going with you. I know the way. I've been there before. And that's the way it is. With all of our trials, with all of our circumstances, with everything that God puts in front of us, the Holy Spirit knows the way. He's your map. He's your GPS. You have his instruction book, the Bible, the Word. He supplies you with all the proper clothing. He says, clothe yourselves with love. He says, put on the whole armor of God. He is the food and drink, the nourishment that we need as we climb the mountain. He says in John, my word is meat and drink. Man doesn't live by bread alone, but by what? Every word that comes out of the mouth of God. He has all the necessary first aid supplies should you get a boo-boo. Should you need a Band-Aid or greater bandages. He says that he heals the brokenhearted and he binds up all our wounds. So if going through these circumstances, going through these obstacles is painful, and it is, he's going to bind up your wounds. He just provides everything, all the tools, all the equipment, all the supplies. It's all in God's word. I want to know, why do we ignore it? Why do we have all this equipment in front of us for every obstacle and ignore God's word? Act like we ain't got no way to go through it. I don't know, I ain't got a clue, God. Well, you have two things to do. Get out the word and get in touch with the Holy Spirit, because he's got all the answers. That song, what about that song about waiting on God? One line in that song said, it's the least I can do to wait on you. And that's true. But it is also the most you can do. There's nothing you can do more than waiting for God to show you the way, to tell you what to do. It's the least you can do. Yes, you should certainly do that. You should be expected to wait on God, but it is also the most you can do. So why do we sweat everything when we know that all we have to do is lean on him And he's going to show us the way. Now, the Holy Spirit is the one who is responsible for building in us the strength of character that we need to persevere in life. Whether you have to go through specific trainings to climb a mountain. And depending on the severity of the mountain that you're climbing, what trainings you need to go through. But the Holy Spirit is the one responsible for building in us the strength of character that we need to persevere through the obstacles that are in front of us. And we are so familiar with Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit. I loved it when Pastor Lynn and Bishop were speaking, I think it was last time, and they said, stones that you have to pick up, the fruit of the Spirit, those are stones you have to pick up. God told me that the fruit of the Spirit is the path up the mountain that we climb on our Christian journey. These are the character traits needed to reach Christ's character. When climbing a mountain in the natural, there are usually smaller peaks on the way to the summit. So we can think of these nine fruit of the Spirit as nine peaks along the way to the summit, which is the character of Christ. And what's the first fruit of the Spirit? Love. Love is our first mountain peak. Love never fails. That's why we begin there. It never fails. If we get a good grasp on love, all the others follow. I think love is necessary for joy, for peace, for patience, for gentleness, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, self-control. It's necessary for those. We need to be solidly grounded in love in order to succeed in anything we do in life. I have learned that any failure in my Christian walk is a love failure. You might think you failed somewhere else, but if you look deep, you will find that every time you failed in your Christian walk, every time you fell from the path you were on, it was a love failure. Paul said he prayed that we would be firmly rooted and grounded in love and that we would come to know the love of Christ so completely that it would be pouring out of us, that would be overflowing with it. 1 Corinthians 13 is the love chapter. We're going to read two verses from there. I may have the gift to speak what God has revealed. And I do. And Bishop does. And Pastor Linda does. Every time we get up here, we speak to you things that God has revealed to us. And I may understand all mysteries. But Jesus said to the disciples, to you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom. And I may have all knowledge. Some people know a whole lot. And I may even have faith to move mountains, but if I don't have love, what's that word? I am nothing. I am useless. I am worthless. If I don't have love, I'm nothing. I may even give everything I own, give away everything that I have, give up my body to be burned. But if I don't have love, none of these things will help me. So the question is, what is your motive for what you do? If your motive is not love, nothing you do has eternal value. If your motive is not love, you might as well not do it. If you're giving away everything you got, as it says here, and you're not doing it out of love, you might as well keep it. Because there's no eternal value in it. Now, let me tell you how this message came about. We've gone a long ways without letting you know this. I was having a conversation with Bishop at the Youth Center a couple weeks ago, telling him how overwhelmed I have been with all the changes taking place in my life right now. Remember that conversation, Bishop? Yeah, he's shaking his head, yes. And as I finished telling him about how overwhelmed I am, I was going to end it with, I just need to develop more. And before I finished my sentence, he said, intestinal fortitude. Now, that isn't how I was going to finish the sentence. I would have said tenacity, perseverance, something like that. Where I come from, intestinal fortitude is the phrase that you use when you want to avoid saying guts. Am I right? He said, you just need more guts. Okay, now I could have been offended, but I was not. Didn't even occur to me to be offended. I take what Bishop says seriously, no matter how random it seems, because his words are never random. Pastor Linda, will you bear witness to that? His words are never random. If he says something and you pay no attention to it, you've missed something important. So I began to kind of think about intestinal fortitude, guts. And I looked it up to see what it really means. I'm wondering, you know, I think I know what it is, but let me find out. And if it is, how do I get it? Someone told you needed more intestinal fortitude. Wouldn't you wonder how to go about getting it? Yeah, okay. So it's defined as the courage and determination necessary to do something difficult or unpleasant. Boy, did that hit the nail on the head. I need more courage, more determination to do what is necessary, to do something difficult or unpleasant. So then I began to talk to God about courage. Where does that courage and determination come from? Because that's what I really wanted to know. I need more of it. Where does it come? Do you know where it comes from? Can you answer that question? I thought I could, but his answer surprised me. See, we're sharing with you the things that God has revealed to us. I cannot go to Publix, walk down aisle 7, look on the right-hand side, and pull off a jar of courage. It isn't there. Nope, it's not there. I'm smart enough to know that anything I lack is found in God. So I ask God, how do I get more courage? How do I get more determination to face these obstacles, to do what is necessary? His answer was love. Love. It's not what I expected. But as soon as he said it, I knew it was true. Because love never fails. He said, you get more courage and determination through greater love. You got an obstacle to overcome that requires more courage and more determination than you have. You have to dig deep down in your heart and find more love for God, more love for whoever is involved in the situation. Now, Marisol, you care for your father, cry for your father, do everything you can for your father because of the deep love you have for him and the love you have for God. It's a perfect example of what God is saying. We need more love. And the love that you had for your father became even more evident to you as you started going. You had to dig down deep in your heart and find the courage, find the boldness, find the determination to go through it. And we can see that when we look at people who put their lives in harm's way every day. The firemen, the soldiers, police officers, all the emergency rescue workers that we've seen so much in the past weeks. Or in people who put their whole life on hold to care for an aging family member or a disabled family member. And they do it with grace. And they do it with joy. And they do it without complaining. You get more courage and determination through greater love. Now, here's how God explained to me. Yeah, see, I'm like Ricky on the Lucy show. Explain that to me, God. Explain that to me. Bishop knows when he says something, I'm like, could you say a little more about that, Bishop? Because I'm not sure I understand yet, or something, you know, diplomatic like that. Explain that to me, Bishop. I've never said that to him. Maybe I will from now on. Okay. So this is how God explained it to me. Love is the motive for courage. Love is the energizing force behind faith. Remember, faith works by love. It's energized by love. And courage is the result of our faith working. Here we are, Working Faith Ministries. We want a working faith, right? Okay. Love is the motive. Love is the energizing force behind our faith, causes our faith to work. And courage is the result. Determination, anything you need, is the result of your faith working. Here's a really good example you can understand right now. During the recent power outage, they told us they couldn't restore the power to our local lines until the transmission lines were energized. We have to energize the transmission lines. Faith is energized by love. And then when the transmission lines were energized, the power could flow to our homes. Love is the energy behind our faith, and courage is the result of our faith working. Just the light, like the lights in your home, are the result of the fact that the power lines are energized. Isn't God good? I mean, come on, God, I can understand that. I'm a really simple-minded person. That's why he gives me these simple explanations. So here's what occurred to me. It took a lot of faith for Bishop to leave his ministry in Fort Lauderdale and come here, for Bishop and Marjorie to leave everything behind and come here. But faith was not their motive. Have you ever thought about that? We talk about all the faith it took and all the courage it took, but that wasn't their motive. What was the motive? Love. Yes, love was the motive. Love for God, love for the people God wanted to touch through them here at Lake Placid. That love energized their faith and gave them the courage and the determination to do what God instructed them. So what was God really telling me? Donna, you need to grow more in love. You need to dig down deeper in your heart and find more love for me and more love for others in the situation. Love will give me the courage and the determination to do what is necessary. Love will give all of us the ability to do what is necessary to overcome our mountains. Give me my mountain, God. Yeah, because it's going to produce more love in me, which is going to produce more of the character of Christ in me. Do you remember the song that they sang? Probably one of the first songs, and they said, I want to be like you. I want to see like you. I want to feel like you. Remember that? Okay. If we were to feel what God feels and see what God sees, we would love like God loves. Can you dig deep, 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 deep down in your heart and ask God, let me feel the way you feel about people, about situations. Let me see what you see when you look at the earth. I used to pray that God would give me a heaven's eye view of the earth. Give me a heaven's eye view of the earth. You'd be surprised what you see when God begins to show you the earth from his perspective, from his vision. So James 1:22 says, be sure. Now listen to that. Be sure. Those words are as strong as I guarantee, but in a different sense. He says, be sure you live out the message. Be sure you live it out. And do not merely listen to it and so deceive yourselves. We have so much good word given to us here. And he is saying, don't just sit and listen to it. Be sure you live it out. And there are so many ways in our life that we have to live out the message. You know, we have elections coming up. Are you going to have the courage it takes to vote for God? To look at the candidates and find the one that aligns most closely with God and vote for them, whether that's popular or not? Are you going to vote against the amendments that defy God? Even though there are so many people who will tell you there are justifiable reasons not to. Are you going to vote for murdering an unborn baby just because a lot of people believe it's okay? No, because we have to live out the message. If you believe the political ads we see where police officers are telling us to vote for legalizing marijuana so they can get back to important work, are you serious? Are you serious? You want me to vote for allowing anybody and everybody who wants to never be in their right mind? That what you want me to vote for? So that they can serve me in restaurants and wait on me at the grocery store, do my taxes, run the businesses around. Is that what you want me to vote for? No, I don't think so, because I have to live out the message. We have to live by our conscience. It takes courage to go to school every day, to go to work every day in the face of opposition and model Jesus everywhere we go. That takes courage. Courage comes from love. It's energized by our faith, and it's the outworking of our faith. Galatians 5:25, since this is the kind of life we have chosen. You chose this life. Don't blame anybody else. Since this is the life we have chosen, the life of the Spirit, we must make sure that we do not just hold it as an idea in our heads or a sentiment in our hearts, but work out its applications in every detail of life. Since this is the life you've chosen, make sure that you are not just holding it as an idea in your head. You're not like, oh yeah, that's good, that's good, that's good. Yay, God, yeah, good, good word, Pastor. But you don't work it out. Be sure of that. Okay, let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for the truth that you've revealed to us tonight. Thank you for the strength and the encouragement. Thank you for the direction, the guidance that will help each and every one of us to face our obstacles in a new and stronger way, that will help each and every one of us pursue your character and grow in love and grow in all of the fruit of the Spirit. Thank you, God, for loving us so much that you've shown that to us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.